Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome, welcome, welcome. And also, Happy New You, Happy New Year. It's now 2015. You are about to experience the movement that is Complete Chocolate Couples. I am your host, Stephen Anthony King, and as always, on every show since we've ever done since 2010, I'd like to give a strong shout-out to my beautiful wife, Tina King, the co-founder of Complete Chocolate Couples. I love you, sweetheart, with everything that I am. I'm looking forward to 2015. You and I had an awesome 2014, and it's only going to get better. So I thank you. All right? Our mission here at Complete Chocolate Couples is to empower, enrich, and celebrate healthy and positive relationships in the African-American community. And to all the supporters of the show, thank you for your continued and ever-growing support. And if you are new to the show and this is your first time listening, sit back, relax, and experience the movement that is Complete Chocolate Couples. You can always listen to any of our previously recorded episodes by logging on to www.blogtalkradio.com/Complete Chocolate Couples, and every single episode that we have aired since 2010 August is on demand for your listening pleasure. Tonight's topic, ladies and gentlemen, as has become tradition with the insurgence of the ever-present New Year resolutions, or we don't like to call them resolutions, we like to call them commitments to life and to getting better. But in with regard to that, since it is the New Year, we always like to start off the year with a finance show. So tonight's topic, once again, is keys to creating a healthy financial relationship in 2015. And we have a dynamic duo with us on the show tonight. You're in for a treat, ladies and gentlemen, because not only are they experts in their respective fields, but they're also a married couple with children, a very successful couple, so they can share some of their insight from both angles, from a professional angle and as well from a couple's angle. So I'm going to jump right in, and I'm going to bring on my guest right away. My first guest is Vashana Etienne. She's an author, a psychotherapist, and founding executive director at the Center for Counseling and Holistic Services, and her husband, Hudson Etienne. He's a certified financial consultant, an IRS enrolled agent, an accredited tax advisor, and founder slash president of the Tax Doctor Financial Corporation. So they are two phenomenal guests. They are with us right now. They are also members of Complete Chocolate Couples, our group. So I want to say hello, welcome, happy New Year. Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you both for being here. Can you guys hear me? Please say hello to the listening audience.
Hello, how are you guys? Thank you for having us.
We're great. That's you, Shauna. Hudson, are you with us as well?
Absolutely, I'm here.
All right, great, great, great. So what I'd like to do first and foremost is have you guys talk a little bit about your profession individually. I introduce you both, but it does no justice to the hard work and accolades and the status that you have achieved. So, Shauna, we'll start with you. Please talk a little bit about yourself from a professional standpoint.
I thought you were going to start with my husband. I was waiting for him to speak.
Ladies always first, right, Hudson?
That's right.
I don't want to start no trouble.
Well, as you say, I am the founder of the Center for Counseling and Holistic Services, and I am the lead clinician there at the center, where I personally work with adult men, women, and couples only. Many of my couples are married, but you don't have to be married to work with me. I specialize in couples therapy. And what makes me unique in comparison to other psychotherapists is it's not just all talk therapy. I always say to people, if they're looking for someone to simply agree with them, I'm not the right therapist for them. This is not about a debate. This is not about a back and forth. This is about me challenging you to think deeper and to be honest, not only with yourself, but with your spouse, with your boyfriend, with your family, with your friends, so that you can live a richer, more fuller life. You can't always hide behind the mask, because that's ineffective when you want to go higher in life. You have to know how to tackle issues even when it's uncomfortable for you. So I am going to chance on activities with you, work with you. If it means that we have to leave the office and go to your person, we'll do that.
Excellent. I like that approach 100%. And thank you for coming on the show. Now, Hudson, it's your turn, bro. Talk a little bit about your professional career.
Okay. As the managing director over at TaxDRX Financial, Tax Doctors, my experience, I started as a financial planner. Educational background is in engineering. I did, you know, minors in finance and accounting. But in the past, say, 15 years, my focus really has been becoming an absolute excellent tax advisor, like a tax expert. Because while I was doing financial planning, what I found is how integral taxes is and how it affects everyone's financial life. Mm-hmm. So hence, what my firm does is when people get into financial tax problems, that is, specifically taxes, we take over their case, we represent them, we go before the IRS and the state boards and settle their cases. We get them out of problems. We, you know, make sure they stay out of jail. If they have businesses, we make sure that their businesses stay viable and solve whatever tax problems they have. But overall, we help people get financially stable and abundant, but starting with their taxes, and then we work backwards.
Excellent. That's great. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, you are experiencing the movement that is Complete Chocolate Couples. I'm your host, Stephen Anthony King. Tonight's inaugural show for 2015, Keys to Creating a Healthy Financial Relationship in 2015. I have a dynamic couple on the line with us, Shauna Etienne and her husband, Hudson Etienne. And we're about to dive into the finances. Now, we've talked a little bit about your financial prowess, both of you. Excuse me, not financial, but professional. What I'd like to do now is so the audience can identify a little bit with you. You're also married with children. So please talk a little bit about that. How long have you been married? How many children? So forth and so on. You know, just so the people can get to know you both a little bit better.
Well, I guess that's my cue to speak. I was, again, waiting for him.
Ladies always first.
Okay, so we have been married for 2 years. We have been together for, we're entering our fifth year together, and we have a blended family. So prior to us getting married, we were both previously married, and we have children from those marriages.
Okay.
And so total together, we have 5 children, and they're ranging from age 21. We have 2 16-year-olds, a 10-year-old who's turning 11 in April, and we have a 1-year-old, and that's our child in common.
Wow, that's a handful. First of all, congratulations. God bless you both on your union and the blended family. And so you guys have a story to tell, especially with regards to finances with a total of 5 children together. That's that's a lot to take on, you know. So let's definitely dive right in to the topic, finances. As we all know, you know, various studies show that, you know, finances can be one of the major reasons why most people or most marriages end in divorce, right up there with infidelity. There are also some other aspects that people may not pay attention to but are experiencing and don't even know what the root is. You know, stress. When the money is funny, You know, stress can bring on ailments. Stress can bring on depression. Stress definitely takes away the sex drive. You know, so there's so many things that may actually lead to infidelity because people are running and trying to find comfort from the situation and really don't know how to deal with it and handle it in destructive ways. So we want to jump right in. And Hudson, I'll point this to you. Some of the roadblocks that you see with your clients, as you like to call them, roadblocks that lead to, you know, financial disaster in relationships.
Well, the roadblocks as it relates to finance, we've identified them as seven specific blocks. The first being no goals. Obviously, if a couple doesn't sit down and develop and identify what their goals are, if you don't have no directions, how in the world are you going to get anywhere? If you don't know where you're going, you don't know if you're still on track or not. The second
Correct.
Is ignorance. Frankly, some people's excuse is, hey, I don't know, or I didn't
mm-hmm.
know. Well, after today and probably subsequent shows, we're going to help eliminate that. We're going to try and educate,
mm-hmm.
you know, our friends, our clients, and, you know, to eliminate the, hey, I didn't know aspect. Understand how interest works, the power of compounding interest. A lot of people, sometimes they save money, but as soon as the money goes in, it goes out. You got to let money work, sit, you know, over time, and at the right interest rate, it will grow to something significant.
Mm-hmm.
I'll fly through the last three. It's the rule of 72. The rule of 72 is an old banking rule. It's a mathematical formula that basically says if you know how much interest you're getting, if you divide that interest by 72, then the number that you get will basically estimate how long it would take for your money to double. For example, if I'm earning 2% return on my money, divide 2 into 72, you get 36. Then if you have money, a dollar sitting in a 2% account, 36 years is going to double to $2. 36 years from then, it'll double from $2 to $4.
Correct.
And
it's important. It's important. I'm sorry, Hudson, didn't mean to cut you off. It's very important to let people know that the time that it takes to double is in years, not weeks, not months, but
That's correct, in years.
Please
yes.
continue. Mm-hmm.
And the next block is credit cards, credit card debt. So debt is, in our definition, is a means of buying something that we don't need at a price that we can't afford with money that we don't have. So hence, is trying to eliminate, identify them, map out, again, a game plan of eliminating them. Then we have poor investments, that's self-explanatory. Taxes is a major roadblock. And successfully looking at tax strategies and dealing with taxes and people who have tax problems, dealing with those is major in relationships. And last but not least, procrastination.
Procrastination.
After they learn what they need to do, sometimes they'll just say, you know, I have time. I'll eventually get to it. And before you know it, you're like 40, 50, you know, approaching 60, and you don't even have anything to show for it. No,
mm-hmm.
So those are the roadblocks. And, you know, my wife can definitely speak to, in her experience, how the finances and the people that she's worked with, what are some of those roadblocks that she's identified.
Correct. And thank you, Hudson, for that, because that was my next question. Now, we've dealt with the logistical standpoint of the roadblocks. Shauna, I'd like you to elaborate a little bit on the emotional standpoints that you see from your clients coming in. They've got problems. You narrow it down to the finances. What are they experiencing, and how are they dealing with it? That's not really in a productive manner.
I was sitting here with a big smile on my face because You know that saying is like, when everything is good, when the money is right, everyone's having fun, right? Everyone is eating.
Mm-hmm.
When that money is not right, it creates chaos in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of time, what I see when couples come in when the money is not right is a lot of blame, a lot of pointing of the finger toward each other, but no one is really looking at themselves and how they attribute to the madness. So once that starts to happen, communication is the first thing that's shot. When you start naming and blaming and you're not really strategizing how to get out of it, you're not a happy person. You can't really hear what the other person is saying because it's so much chaos mixed with it. So then it starts to come with blaming. Once you blame somebody, you feel like somebody is not living up to their part of the bargain in a marriage. Then the lack of trust comes in play, the betrayal comes in play, and it really does take a toll. It takes a toll on their love connection, their sexual connection, everything. I mean, nothing is unaffected when money is bad, and I totally
mm-hmm.
mean that.
Mm-hmm. We have a saying that when the money's funny, you'll start doing something strange for a little piece of change.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
And it's true. And nothing is sexy when the money is funny. So this is such a dynamic topic, but we're going to take just 2 seconds to let the listening audience know. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to Complete Chocolate Couples on Blog Talk Radio. Our topic tonight, keys to creating a healthy financial relationship in 2015. I have a dynamic couple on the line with me, Hudson and Shauna Etienne. They are both professionals in their respective fields, and we're about to dive in deep to this conversation. If you are online you have a question or a comment that you'd like to have aired live, please call in to 347-850-8726. Make sure that you press 1, and you'll be placed in the queue to go live with your question or your comment. Now, I want to go back, Hudson and Shauna, to the beginning. People get together. I like you. You like me. We hang out. We see that there's connection. Right, we decide that it's going to get serious, right? So we're in this kind of euphoric stage. Everything is good. Everybody's on their best behavior. The representatives are in full effect. You know, he's pulling out chairs. He's opening doors. He's sending flowers and sending candy, right? And you guys decide to, you know what? We're going to make this a commitment, right? It's me, it's you, it's nobody else. We're feeling good about ourselves. Everything is good. Right, we get into this thing. One decides to move in with the other, right? But there are no goals set. There was no conversation set down, or the two did not sit down and talk about, you know, where are we going with this? What are your financial goals? What's your credit score? You know, how much debt do you have? These, you know, and you hear a lot of comedians talk about this in their acts, but it's absolutely true. If I'm committing myself to you, then I'm taking on not just you and the good of you, but all your baggage, and a lot of that baggage may be financial. So Hudson, talk about the importance of setting goals and how should couples go about that. And Shauna, you can jump in as well.
Well, first and foremost, you've hit the nail on the head in that. Other than going to a clinic, doing the test, we would then go sit down and do what I call focusing on cash management. Yes, we pull each other's credits. We discuss, hey, these are the debts. Like when Shauna and I met, it was a little different in that I didn't have any personal debt per se, but I had business debt.
Mm.
And Mia, on her side, she didn't necessarily have business debt because at the time she didn't own a business. Now she does, but she had personal debt arising
mm-hmm.
from her the marriage. So
mm-hmm.
hence, now I had to actually sit with her and say, babe, I really want to do this. However, I feel that the baggage, this huge debt that I'm bringing on, you have to be okay and understand that my focus, my focus in the next 3 to 5 years are going to be to pay off all these investors. And hence, if you're okay with that, then we can move forward. If not, I'd love to do it first, and then we can perhaps tie the knot then. So it's just sitting down, you know, being very transparent, and then putting everything down on paper. And, of course, once you get together, I wouldn't say move in first and then, but, you know, obviously do the marriage first, move in, and then that's the way we did it anyway.
Okay.
So,
okay.
The
and Shauna, I'm sorry, Hudson, continue. I apologize. Continue.
There is a quick, we call it a quick budget form that kind of lays it out for people. So I can make that available to you, and then you can, of course, make that available to the listeners that kind of lays everything out. And when you can actually put it in writing, then you can really track it.
Yeah. Excellent.
That's
excellent.
Really the goal.
Excellent. Shauna, how did you feel, first of all, when Hudson explained to you or was totally transparent? I'm assuming, and again, I'm just speculating, but I would assume that, you know, on one hand, there may have been a little bit of fear, and I could be totally wrong, but on the other hand, there could have been a sense of comfort knowing that, okay, I know what I'm getting when I get with this man. Tell me, what were your feelings?
Well, you know, Tina and Steve, it's always two sides every story, right? Or at least two perceptions. And I don't fully remember the story completely like that, although everything he said is accurate. I remember it starting a different way. So it was more like in our relationship, and I think a lot of women who are listening is going to be able to relate with this. When you get to a point in your relationship and you say, where is this relationship going? Like, I already told you I don't casually date. I don't casually have sex. This is not what I want. I know what I want. I know what I'm ready for. So where is it going? And he was sort of hesitant on the relationship part. And not saying hesitant to move forward with it. It was just something that I saw that it was more to the story. Does that make sense? Because everything that he was doing was right. It was adding up to someone who is in a courtship who will eventually lead to an engagement and a marriage, but then we got stuck. And we went to couples counseling. So that's the part that he's not recalling. We went to...
I do agree. I did miss that part. We did go.
We went to couples counseling. And I was already at the point where I'm moving on. See, I'm the kind of woman, I mean what I say and I say what I mean. And I've always had a standard list. I always went by a list that I had to be okay with a guy meeting the standards on that in order for me to move forward. And when we got stuck right there, my last shot was, okay, we can try this couples counseling thing. And if it doesn't work, then it's a done deal. And in that couples counseling, the therapist had discussed debt and did Hudson disclose all of the information to me? And so part of the homework assignment was for Hudson to go back and become transparent with his business debt and then allow me to choose whether or not I was going to enter with that relationship. So when he did it, I am not going to lie to you, I was pretty shocked at the figures on the table. I was surprised at it, like, wow, that's heavy stuff. And it took me a few days to really sit down, take it all in, think about it, speak to my spiritual mother, and I made some decisions from there. And I was okay with moving forward once I saw that because I knew what I was working with. And then we also discussed what that would mean to a relationship, what that would mean to a marriage, and what he did to protect the business so it doesn't fall on me. So he had a plan so that his business debt does not financially affect me, and I was okay with that, and that's what caused me to move forward.
Okay. Now, on the other hand, you came with some debt as well, correct? Okay.
So,
Hudson,
yes.
how did you feel about that?
I felt comfortable in that. Likewise, she had a plan. Because basically what I did is I was at a position financially where I said, okay, what does she have that I can sort of help out with? at the time, she had a car loan that was due. It was a lease that was due. It was up, and we had to make a decision on whether we were going to just return it or what have you. So, you know, we just made the decision, you know what, let's go ahead and buy the car out. That way you have no more bills. And then since your focus is going to be in paying off your credit card debt, then it'll free even more money up for you to do that. So hence, it's in those strategies, like I said, when you get rid of bad debt, now you have cash flow that you can then concentrate into doing things like that. You know, once you get rid of debt, then we can talk about investing, et cetera. So, no, once, again, she made it transparent. It was, hey, let's see how we can help for in helping her to achieve that. And believe it or not, I think she's if I recall, she's done or almost done, like to a level where we could.
I have no debt.
Yeah, okay, yeah. You're totally done. So it's
wow.
That's what happens when you set goals.
When you set goals. Excellent. That's an excellent story. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, you are experiencing the movement. That is Complete Chocolate Couples. I'm your host, Stephen Anthony King. It's 2015, and tonight's dynamic topic is keys to creating a healthy financial relationship in 2015. My esteemed guests, Hudson and Shauna Etienne. Hudson is a certified financial consultant, along with a host of other credentials, as well as Shauna is an author, a psychotherapist, and again, she has a wealth of credentials that she has acquired as well. And we're diving into some of the roadblocks or stumbling blocks that may cause conflict in relationships. So one that we have identified and that we strongly recommend that all of you listening take advantage of immediately: start to set goals. Even if you're in the relationship, I think a key that we need to point out, Sean and Hudson, is that it's never too late to start. Some people may think that, you know, unless the IRS is knocking at your door and they already have the truck loaded up to the back and they're taking out stuff, I don't think that it's ever too late to at least make the attempt to start. Now, Tina and I, we have a story as well. You know, we, like most people, we got married. We didn't really set financial goals when we got married. You know, what kept us together was a long-standing friendship. I mean, years and years of a friendship. So, you know, no matter what adversity came along, we were able to kind of weather the storm. But it was at a point in our relationship, in our marriage, I should say, that we both made, you know, very, very, you know, I would say comfortable incomes, but we weren't really seeing where our money was going. I mean, we weren't really acquiring any wealth, if you will, in terms of assets, in terms of getting out of debt. We were just kind of going along, floating along. I mean, we could buy what we wanted to buy at any time. You know, we weren't really strapped for cash, but we weren't really making any major strides. And I came up with the idea, and you guys tell me what your opinion about this is. We, like most couples, her money was her money, her check was her check, her debt was her debt, and she dealt with it on her own. We came together on common ground with, you know, the household expenses, you know, whether it was the maintenance on the co-op, the cable, the lights, you know, stuff like that, common household, you know, overhead we came together on, and we were able to agree on who would pay what. But, you know, she dealt with her debt on her own. I dealt with my debt on my own, and we really didn't make any headway. And we decided, I came up with this plan that, babe, you know, the first thing we need to do is, like you said, Hudson, and I definitely will take you up on getting that budget outline that you have, because that's very important to see the numbers on paper. So we put down all of our income, you know, net income, money that was coming into the house every month, and on the other side, all the expenses, whether they were hers, whether they were mine, it didn't matter, because they affected us both. So, you know, I'm talking about student loans, I'm talking about credit card debt, I'm talking about reoccurring phone bills, whatever it was put on paper. And when we saw, you know, what we took in versus what had to go out, we were still way ahead of the game. We were like, damn, where the hell is all this money going? But we had no idea because we had no structure. We had no plan, right? And we weren't making any headway. So Tina at first was a little hesitant. I brought up the plan in October, and she was a little, apprehensive about doing it. Long story short, we started it that following January, and in 6 months, we were able to clear up all of her debt completely, and her credit score shot up like easily 50, 60 points just because we had a plan. And we were attacking it. It was no longer her debt, her money, my money. It was our money going to our collective debt and paying off whichever was impacting us the most. That's the one we handled first. And then systematically we went down the line until it was all wiped away. And we were able to really, like you said, Hudson, first of all, we got rid of the debt, which means we had more money to spend. Okay, or just more money, disposable income to invest, save, whatever we wanted to do. But more importantly, there's a certain sense of freedom when you get those credit card people up off your back. It was incredible. And one of the other things that you mentioned was education. People really don't understand how money works, how interest works. So I want to talk a little bit about that as well. The importance of understanding money, not to the point where you're a certified public accountant or, a chief financial officer, but you should have some general knowledge about how money works, especially with regard to your own household. So please, let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Just starting with that rule of 72, think of it this way. Right now, how much are banks paying? Roughly, 1%? Less than
1%? 1%, yeah.
So it automatically tells you that it would take a lifetime for anything that you're investing in a bank to double, which is like 72 years, okay? And so let's think about your credit cards. How much is the credit card charging us? Most, 18%?
Yeah, anywhere from 12 to 28%.
Exactly. If it's 12, that means whatever that balance is that you have on your credit card is doubling every 6 years. So if you owe a credit card company $1,000, 6 years, that item that you bought for $1,000, if you just paid the interest, it's going to cost you almost $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
which is the minimum, right? The minimum monthly payment, generally, the majority of that is interest. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So when you think about interest, you have to think about it from the standpoint, and some people make the mistake of, okay, they're accumulating monies and saving it at lower interest rates while maintaining large balances on their credit cards. Well, it's you're actually putting out more money than you're earning, which makes no sense. It's best to go ahead and pay off those high interest rate cards with the monies that you're saving, minus, of course, your emergency fund, and then just addressing it. So, I mean, we'll get into probably in a future show or later where you can actually safely get the 8% or 10% where your money is doubling every 9 to 7.5 years or even higher. And so, but it's just understanding it and what impact it makes to a particular portfolio. So I can speak like very briefly where if somebody saves, let's say, $2,000 in 30 years, you'll have well over $226,000 if only saved at 8%. And I'm saying only because, again, 8% is very modest when you're talking about investments. Whereas mm-hmm. if you're saving at a rate of, say, let's say 2 to 4% in the same period, it only grew to about 60,000. So it's a huge difference, So we just, again, be cognizant of what interests you're working with and what interests you're paying out, and make sure the interest that you're paying out is significantly lower than what you're earning. You know, we want to make money. We don't want to make the banks rich, you know. So
correct. Now let's speak to the paycheck to paycheck people. The people who you know, because we do have a segment of people on the line who may say, yeah, investments all that's good. Right now I'm just trying to get above water. Right now I just want to not have $50 at the end left over when I get paid on Friday. You know, it's me, it's my husband, he's got credit card debt, I've got some debt, right? We don't seem to be getting anywhere. We're just swimming in this pool of debt. How do I get out of this? That's the person who wants to know what's the first step that they should take.
I have that mindset. So my husband and I are very different in how we approach money. We're very, very different. And so all the technical stuff, I can get lost in that. I wouldn't even understand what he's saying half the time. I have a paycheck to paycheck mentality when it comes to spending off debt, like paying down debt. Not like I don't live my life like that anymore, but once upon a time that was me. So the people that had a paycheck to paycheck, in simple terms, what I did, I can't tell you if there's any scientific thing behind it or if an accountant would agree with me. I don't care. It worked for me. I'm going to put it that way. And what I did was say, for example, when I came into my marriage, I had $30,000 in credit card debt. And how I managed to pay off $30,000 in 7 years is, so say, for example, I closed out all my cards. And that's not an example. That's the truth. I called the credit card banks themselves, and I said, I would like to close my account. I want to keep on making the payments. What can you do for me? I cannot keep doing this year after year with the minimum payments with this interest rate. What they did was they agreed to close it out. I could not open up a credit card for 5 years, and they lowered all my interest rates. So one of them was at 9%. Another one was at, like, 6.75%, something like that, or maybe 8%. They were low. And if I had to pay $90 to one card and $110 on the other card, I would pay $100 to the $90 card and keep paying the minimum payment of $110. And when that $90 card a month was paid off fully, I added that $90 to that $110, because remember, I was already paying it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't change anything for me. If it was $90, I would pay $100, and the other one I was paying $110. So that's $210. Once that one I was paying $100 to every month was completed, it was closed, I just took that $100 and I added it onto the one that I was paying $110. So that payment became $210 a month.
Stop right there. Stop right there, Shauna. That's a great point that you make. Just because you closed out one card didn't mean you had more money to spend at the mall. You took that same money that you were putting on the other card, the $100, every week or every month, and you just applied it to the next debt, which means that you were going to be able to pay that off faster, because now there's $100 more added to it. That's a great point.
Yes. So you have to discipline yourself. I had to close those cards, because if they were open and that money was coming down and down and down, I would have been enticed to spend more. So it's a mindset shift. You have to change the way you're looking at money. Let me tell you something. It feels so good not to pay anybody any monthly payments or anything.
Yes.
It feels so good. Yes. You can do so many big things with only $300 a month. And I'm telling you that.
Yes.
I swear to you, I tell you, you can take the best vacations. My daughter had a wonderful Sweet 16 that was the price of a wedding, and we did that Sweet 16 debt-free. We owe nobody nothing from that Sweet 16. And that's
wow.
making
Excellent.
Little payments, little by little. And everything, like the Bible says, do not despise a slow build. You have to move slowly, just little by little. Here's small little deposits that add up. And you can do great things with that. And that's exactly
Correct.
What I did, off of paycheck to paycheck to get out of debt.
I guess the only thing I can add.
Please, yes.
The only thing that I'd like to add is basically what she's describing is what we call paying off the debt using a debt snowball technique. But before you do that, the only thing that I normally have clients do is save and start saving for an emergency fund. So the first step is really just to save $1,000. If you're living paycheck to paycheck, focus on saving $1,000, because what happens is a lot of time we get into credit card debt because we're using our credit cards for that emergency or what we are calling emergency. So hence, let's save $1,000 first. Then once we have that $1,000 in place, start paying off the debt. Pay off the small ones first. Use the monies from the small one. Pay the next small one off. Use the two, and then keep doing what Shauna had explained that she did. And then before you know it, once you see that first card is paid off in full, man, you just get that motivation to then attack the next one and then the next one and so on. And eventually, once you get, again, all the debt paid off, then the third step is we want to get that emergency fund from $1,000 to cover at least 3 to 6 months of your monthly expenses. You want you want that. And imagine how you feel having that type of monies, that security in place. Because once that happens, then we can talk about investing 15% of your household income into, whatever the next goal is.
Excellent. Now, I just want to make one more point, and then we're going to take a question that was sent in to Tina. But how do you guys feel about living under the same roof but having the mentality of segregated debt and segregated income? Does it work? Doesn't it work? Should people pool together? Should there be some type of common fund that you attack all the debt? What's your thoughts about, for instance, the plan that Tina and I put together, where we have three accounts now. We have a bill account. We have the all-important savings account, as you just mentioned, Hudson, and we also have a spending account. So we're not mixing the money up. And at first, we only had two accounts. And then another good brother, a friend of ours who has been on the show before, his name is Ash Cash, he came on and suggested three accounts. Because what would happen was we would be taking money from the checking account, and you pay a bill, and they don't take the money out right away. And lo and behold, you're spending money that you really don't have because they haven't withdrawn it from the bank. So now we just separated. When we get our paychecks, I get paid every week. She gets paid twice every other week. We budget out what bills are due between that period, and we put what we're putting in savings, and whatever we're going to put in our spending account, that's what we put in our spending account, and that's what we use, and that's all that we use. I want your thoughts about that system or something that's similar to it that people could kind of take away from tonight and start putting in play tomorrow.
Well, I think what you and Tina are doing is great.
Excellent.
And it's not going to apply to everybody. And the reason why I say it is because it depends on where a couple is at when they enter in a relationship. If you couple with other types of baggage, people may not readily jump into that. And when I say other types of baggage, you're supposed to enter every relationship brand new from ground zero, but that's not always the case. So if somebody had a bad experience with a previous partner with their spending and stuff, they're not going to be ready to come in and have an account with you. It's just not going to work that way. So you have to take things one step at a time. And when I have couples that come in to see me and one is seriously keeping everything separate because he or she doesn't like the way the other person spends money, I always tell them that's fine, but at least have one account where all your bills goes in, all your money goes into that you guys select. For example, let me make this very clear. If your household expenses together is $5,000 a month, that account should meet those household expenses per month. And whatever you do on your side, you do on your side, whatever he does on his side, he does on his side, those are for the couples that are not really comfortable putting everything together. So even though
I agree,
it's great, it's not always the reality in practice because people come into relationship with baggage, and you don't want to be penalized for your partner's mistakes, especially if you are a blended family. You don't know people's child support issues and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, I agree, because even with us, it tested our commitment to one another. You know, it was like, okay, you say you committed, you say you happily married, y'all got all this complete chocolate couple stuff going on. All right, put your money where your mouth is. You know what I'm saying? And it kind of, it was scary. I'll put it that way. It was definitely fearful, because we have never done that before in our lives. But I can say for us, and you make a good point, Shauna, you make a very good point. You don't know what people's history is. You don't know where they are in the relationship yet. But for us, it did work. And we just like to share that for those who would want to try it, or a variation of it, like you mentioned. Okay, so you don't jump in totally head first, but something has to be unified. I agree.
Absolutely. I agree. I think you have to have an account together, and everything else is baby steps, because you don't know where a person's at in a relationship. And I don't want anybody to get up the phone and be like, you see, babe, we should have an account together, and start a big argument, because what works for one person is not going to work for the other.
Exactly, exactly. Thank you so much for that. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, you are experiencing the movement that is Complete Chocolate Couples. I'm your host, Stephen Anthony King. It's 2015, and we are kicking it off with a fantastic show, Keys to Creating a Healthy Financial Relationship in 2015. I have two excellent guests with me, Shauna and Hudson ATN. They are Hudson is a certified financial consultant. Shauna is a psychotherapist and founding executive director of the Center for Counseling and Holistic Services. And I'm going to bring Tina on the line because we have a lot of vehicles that people communicate with us when we're on the show. And Tina, are you there, sweetheart? Welcome to the show. Say hello to our beautiful guest.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hey, Tina. You're doing well.
Hi, Tina.
Hi, Shauna.
Great.
Okay,
so, Tina, you have a question.
Yes, we have someone from Islip. They ask, what happens if your partner is buried in debt and you come into the relationship debt-free? Is it fair that we set financial goals together and include our funds together in the household budget if most of their money is going into paying off their debt?
That's a great, great question. And I'm going to tiptoe. Read the question, T, and then I'm going to tiptoe to the side and allow them to handle that.
Okay. It says, what happens if your partner is buried in debt and you come into the relationship debt-free? Is it fair that we set financial goals together and include our funds in the household budget if most of their money is going into paying off their debt?
So in other words, One person is pretty much debt-free. They're responsible. Mm-hmm. The other one has a whole lot of debt. Now, they come together, right, and there's household bills, but the household bills include their debt. Is that what you're saying?
It looks to me like that's what it's saying. Like, the household bill will include, of course, the other person's debt. I guess the person who wrote in is questioning, is it fair for their money to be included in that as well?
In the other person's debt.
Right.
Okay. I got it. Hudson, Shauna?
I'll start out. I think that with the household, you first have to identify what the household expenses are. And then, of course, his debt, and we'll say he has debt, we identify how much that is. And then once we agree on, okay, how much she's going to contribute to the overall expense, that is household expense, how much is he going to contribute to the overall household expenses, we've identified that. We're good there. Now he's been addressing his debt. Why don't we first discuss, okay, what strategies do we want to use in addressing that debt? Is this a debt that he's going to pay outright? Maybe having a discussion with the debtors to find out what deals can be made in compromising some of the debt, getting it lowered, getting interest rate lowered, et cetera, et cetera. And then after you – and, hey, bankruptcy could also be a consideration if you believe in that, of course. And last but not least, we then bring her in and say, honey, how much would you like to contribute to help me pay down my debt? If she says zero, basically he's on his own. If she says, you know what, I'll contribute $100 or $200 a month to help you out. And that way, hey, the quicker I get you debt-free, the better it is for the both of us.
Excellent. Excellent.
Well,
I think
that's
Shauna,
my view.
Shauna?
I'm going to take that from an emotional standpoint because, you know, ladies, we are a little bit more emotional in certain areas, but we are very logical and rational beings, and you can't ignore the emotions. So with that disclaimer, I'm going to say this. If he has debt to the point where she's wondering if, or he's wondering, whoever's wondering, should I really contribute to paying off his debt, first and foremost, the household expenses have to be taken care of, bottom line. Before anything else, your family can't be homeless while you're paying off debt. So, again, like Hudson said, you set a little amount, you pay that off. Now, everything else, will you pay off his debt? It really does depend. If this person is, and this is me, this is my opinion, I own it. If you are going to be the one who are out there with a big debt, you're still coming in the house with $200 pair of sneakers every week, you're driving a Beamer next week, this week you have a Beamer, next week you have a Benz, and you're still not learning from your past experiences, no, I won't partake in that. I'm not going to continue to try to work to get you out of debt and help you and lift you up, and you're still acting foolish. I'm just not going to do it. But that's me. That's how I operate. Because, again, I'm at a different standpoint. I'm coming into this marriage in a different, with a different point of view. I have a business. He has a business. And I'm not going to run myself crazy with stress. The stress kills. Believe it or not, it really does kill. I'm not going to get ulcers and drive myself crazy. And you're really not exhibiting yourself like a financial steward.
That's excellent. Take. Both takes are excellent.
I do agree with what she said as well. So.
Yeah, because then you're actually, if you allow him to, or her, right, let's keep it real, because it could be the Jordans or it could be the Red Bottoms, so let's let's make that real clear, right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. But in either case, if you decide to take it on and allow them to continue spending frivolously, then you're now an enabler, and people will only do what you allow them to do. So I agree with both of you. What I would like to add to that is that, you know, some people, due to lack of education, which that's a whole nother topic, I think, you know, financial literacy should be taught, you know, all the way up from elementary school and in high school. But, you know, my opinion is that the country thrives off of people being in debt. That's a whole nother issue we'll talk about. But, you know, if you don't have this education, if you don't have this knowledge, if you don't have this discipline, there's nothing wrong with reaching out to people like Shauna and like Hudson, right, to get advice and to get some direction on how to do it. One of the first things you have to admit to yourself, right, is that we don't know enough to get this done properly. Let's go someplace. You know, there are people out there who can help you, and you know, whether there's a cost, whether there isn't a cost, even if there is a cost, it's an investment into your future, into your financial future. So one of the things I would like to add to that couple that asked that question, and we thank you, Tina and I thank you for your question, is if that is the case, if the other individual has all the debt, has an issue with spending and unmanageability with money, then seek some outside help. Don't keep trying to do it on your own and not coming up with any results. So I think that's very important. Tina, we have another question, correct?
Yes, we do. We're going to it. Okay. So it says, my husband suggested that we handle finances differently for the new year. He suggested that I give him my check so that he can manage the finances as he's better at it than I am. He said I will give him my check and he will give me a monthly allowance. I somehow don't agree with this. Am I being unreasonable?
Wow. That's another good point. I'm tiptoeing. You hear me tiptoeing?
And I'm laughing because I think that's my client. I'm just kidding. Again, I'm not going to say that she's being unreasonable. It's not enough information for me to really assess that. What I would do is really sit down and pick her brain. I want to see where her thoughts are coming from, because sometimes we do a poor job at really communicating what it is we're thinking, and we title our emotions and feelings, and men cannot hear us that way. So if you make a logical point for why you don't agree with it, then there's nothing wrong with that, just as long as it makes sense. If you're saying that you feel that it's a power and control type of thing, so I'm telling you, I have a client like this. If you're feeling like it's a power of control, you feel like you're a doormat, you feel like, oh, my God, he's always trying to control everything, that's a totally different story, and it really doesn't have anything to do with your paycheck. Because if you really trusted him and you really knew that he was going to lead your family into greatness and he was not going to mislead you and he loves you, supports you, and he gives you anything you want and desire, you will be okay with doing that. But it sounds like there's something there she's holding on to, her independence, which is stopping her from being okay with that.
Yes. Yes, and you and I, we all talked about that word, submissive or submitting, you know, and how people misconstrue that word, and we'll get to that in a second. But we do have a caller on the line who's been waiting patiently, and I want to bring this caller on. Caller from the 646, the 633 exchange. You are on the air with Complete Chocolate Couples. Welcome to the show.
Hey, welcome. Hey, Steve. What's going on, big brother? How are you, baby?
Who's this?
It's me, your homeboy, Reggie, brother.
Hey, Reg.
Hey, Steve.
My man.
How you
doing, Reg?
Happy New You, brother. Happy New You.
Happy New You to you, too, my man. Thank
Absolutely,
you, Reg, for listening in.
Happy New Year to your guests. Yeah, Happy New Year to
Thank
your
you.
Guests.
Thanks, Reg.
Thank you. What's on your mind, Reg?
Well, Steve, I just tuned in because I was taking my wife to work, you know, because my wife works the midnight shift. She's a working woman, and I'm a retired man, you know, so you see how that works, right? And I tuned in on the way coming. Yeah, hey, some of us can be retired early, and some of us got to work, you know. So I was listening to the sister who was talking about the different financial situations, and, like, you know, I understand a lot of what she's saying, and, you know, But the way it's done, see, basically for me and my wife, we kind of talked about a lot of financial stuff before we even got married, before we even moved into our household together. And a lot of times we miss that part. You know, we caught up in the love and everything, and we miss the conversations about finance and our financial abilities, financial situations. And then we move in and we get married, and the next thing you know it, certain things come up, and we'd be like, wow, well, why didn't you tell me about that? Well, why didn't you tell me about that? Because I was too busy caught up in the love. And so, you know, we got to be able to have them conversations. We got to have them conversations, and we got to trust one another. Like the sister was talking about, the husband wanted to take the paycheck. Hey, let me tell you, I can honestly say my wife is not the best bill payer in the world. And she knows that, and she knows that. So she gives me that leeway to pay the bills because she trusts that I'm going to pay the bills. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, you bring up a good point, Reg. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, right.
You bring up a good point, and this is what we were talking about with the word submit. You know, we kind of brought the Bible into it. Wives should submit to their husbands, not in a submissive fashion where, you know, you bow out. You know, you're bowing and walking out backwards and washing his feet, but you are in agreement with his plan. And it's just my opinion that women naturally look for their men to lead. But the man has to be a qualified leader. He has to have a plan because women need certainty. And I'll look. For affirmation from Tina and from Shauna in regards to that statement, women need to feel secure from a lot of different standpoints, emotionally, physically, and financially. They need to feel secure, you know, they look to the man to provide that. So, your wife gives
Steve,
you. Uh-huh.
And believe me, Steve, it's a mutual thing. Like, there are some strong suits that we both, you know, have. Some of the suits that she has are stronger, and some of mine are stronger. So I understand that there are certain areas of her life that she's more, you know, in tune with than I am. Like, my wife is an educator. She goes to school. She's always in school.
Mm-hmm.
Always. I don't care if she's working a full-time job. She just loves to go to school and get another degree.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I feel like I just don't want to be in class anymore. But
yeah.
I do what I do, and she respects uh-huh. that, and I respect that. So when it comes to our finances, we have – let me tell you what we have set up in our house. Maybe this might help the sister. We have a box, right? It's called a bill box. And what happens is that the bills go into the box, and her money goes into the box. Then I take the money and I pay the bills, because she may not get around to paying those bills in that box as quick as
mm-hmm.
I would. She may linger on for a week or two. She may just get caught up in some other stuff. But me, I'm conscious enough to know that, okay, this bill is due on the 10th. So that means that bill is going to be paid at least on the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we set up our life. That's how it is. But as far as our financial situation, and we have accounts that we don't even touch. We have certain accounts in our life that we don't touch for nothing. I don't care what happens. We're not touching that money, not less that what happens, happens. So,
mm-hmm.
communication. You really got to be in communication. There's a lot of communication
mm-hmm.
going on in relationships. When it comes to finances, if you miss communication, you miss a lot.
Excellent. Thank you,
Raj.
Shauna, you, Shauna, go ahead.
100%, and there is no dispute there. And what I know, see, what I do for a living, I like to go backwards before I go forward. So it must have been something that got you to that, and that's what I believe the listeners need to hear, because they might be in some mess right now, and they're not hearing what you're saying because they don't see the way out. You understand? So you must have went through something that would be a testimony so people could know that they have hope to get to that level. Because you just
went
into that, yeah. Oh, this is what we're going to do. It was trial and experience. It was a learning lesson that taught you that.
Exactly,
well,
Shauna. Thank you. So, Reg, yeah, was there some pain? Was there some adversity that you guys went through to say, you know what, no more of that, this is how we're doing it?
Well, Steve, there's always going to be some type of debt in one's life, and you're going to find the best way to climb out of that debt without stripping your household. So we saw some debt in each other, and we saw some extra money that was laying around, and we said, hey, wait a minute, we don't need to go to this situation right now. We need to pay off this debt. So we have to sacrifice. It's called a sacrifice, because sometimes you want a new pair of shoes. Sometimes you want a new suit. You want to go to that concert. Sometimes you have to say, hey, that $200 can go towards that MasterCard. You understand what I'm saying? Let's
mm-hmm.
work on this, and let's constantly try to talk about things, because a lot of times all we do is talk in the bedroom. Nobody talks in the living room no more. You know,
yeah.
Nobody sits down quietly in the living room and talk. Everybody just want to come in and just go their separate directions in the household.
Yes, thank you, Reg, for that. You make a good point, Reg. One of the other things that Tina and I do, and I think, you know, we've shared this before on the show, there's a certain aspect of every relationship that not that it is a business, but it should be run with business principles. And
absolutely.
When it comes to finances, we take that very seriously. So Tina and I actually have business meetings. Thank you for that, Reggie. We sit down, we schedule, we put it on the calendar. She'll send me an invite because, you know, Reggie, you said something too. You know, the roles that people play, you know, there's certain things that Tina's far better than I am. I like to joke and say that she's the brains of the relationship. I'm just the dude with the big mouth who talks all the time, right? But she's a great organizer. She's a great researcher. She's a great formulator and administrator and things of that nature. So I leave that up to her, you know? So we actually have a business meeting where we sit down and go over the bills, and especially when you're trying to climb out of debt, I would suggest that you monitor it as often as possible to keep track. Don't just, you know, hey, how we doing once a month. Maybe have a structured time, set date every week. This is what Tina and I do. Every week when we get paid, we have a spreadsheet that we go over for our budget, and we know where we are with our money, you know. And, you know, there's one thing she always comes to me and says, babe, you know, can I get this, can I get that? And I tell her, and I'll tell anybody, my wife can spend and buy whatever she wants. As long as she tells me that the bills are paid and we on point with our budget, whatever's left over, you can do with it what you want. I really don't care. But if we don't know where we are with the bills and we just want to spend money, then I'm going to have a problem with it. And the way we alleviate that is by having a business meeting. You know, because there's an aspect of our relationship that is run like a business. And Shauna Hudson, I'd like you, first of all, thank you, Reg. I love you to death, brother. And Shauna and Hudson, I'd like you to elaborate a little bit before we end on that part. You know, the structure in the marriage, in the relationship. Should there be some, or what level should there be?
There definitely needs to be a structure, and especially when it comes to finances, more than just finances, and a lot of things that you do in your spirituality, religion, children, family, intimacy, social connections. You need to have a structure. So in terms of finance, for the purpose of the show, I know whatever I feel like there's an imbalance, we come together, we write everything out. What is it looking like? We always have to check in with each other to see if we're making progress toward our goals. And you can't do that if you don't communicate like your friend said. You have to be able to communicate. So what structure works for one person is not going to work for the other person. Like I said earlier, everyone is different. But for Hudson and I, it's not uncommon, like how you and Tina have business meetings. We don't have scheduled meetings. But when I need to see where we are financially, we do sit down, get everything out, go through our statements from our checking accounts and stuff, to see are we spending frivolously. Because when I feel like something is off, for example, if I know that usually we have $500 left over, this is just an example, and today we have $395, what happened? What was this extra spending we did? Let's really go through that to see if it was a one-time thing or somebody getting sloppy with their spending. And I don't mean to be direct when I say sloppy with their spending, because neither one of us are kids, but you know what I mean. We have to be disciplined if we have a goal. So
understood.
When you are able to do that, you're able to sit down, you're really able to go through your bank statements, you'll start seeing Dunkin' Donuts adds up. Eating out adds up.
The latte factor.
Exactly.
It
so
does.
When you're able to do that, you're able to say, okay, whoa, you need to take a little easy on the Dunkin' Donuts, take it easy with eating out. You're able to show, because if not, it's going to be points in the finger. That's that naming and the blaming game. No, that's not me. I don't do anything. I haven't went out and I haven't done anything this week. But when you really look at it in paper, the numbers don't lie.
Yes,
so it
absolutely.
Helps, it helps to keep us on check. I mean, on point and in check.
Absolutely.
Hudson,
you know, this. Go ahead, Hudson. Please elaborate.
No, I concur with everything she said. Huge in that is communicating. Okay, communication is key here. And the one thing that I'll add, I mean, I'm the technical guy, so one thing that helped me get hone in on what's going on is an app. It's an app called Mint, like, you know, Mint Leaf or the Mint. If you download it and you register your account to it, it will actually automatically track all of your deposits and all of your expenses for you. And you can go and categorize as they come into the app. And then when you run reports or you see what the reports look like, you'll see exactly where your money is going.
Excellent. And
so,
it's the Mint, as
no,
in
it's
M-I-N-T?
M-I-N-T. Without
M-I-N-T.
The Yeah.
Okay,
Mint,
so just the word Mint.
Yeah, so it's both for Droids and iPhones. That is the absolute best app that I've ever gotten that helped me to hone in on, hey, what's going on with my money? Okay, because sometimes, yeah, you could bring out the statements, but you only do it once. Mint is continuous, and it attracts your credit cards. It attracts all your accounts for you.
So it's your own personal accountant, if you will.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's excellent. That's excellent. This has been an excellent show. I mean, and we can continue talking for another 2 hours. There's just so much to cover with this discussion. But it's getting late, and I thank you guys for staying up and hanging out with us. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, you have been experiencing the movement that is Complete Chocolate Couples. I'm your host, Stephen Anthony King. We've had a phenomenal show tonight, and who knows, you know, depending on the response, we may have a part two, because there's so much more that we could touch on. But tonight's topic has been keys to creating a healthy financial relationship in 2015. I have two wonderful guests, actually part of the Complete Chocolate Couples family, Hudson and Shauna Etienne. And before we leave, first of all, I want to thank you both immensely. Tina and I thank you both for coming on and sharing with us some solutions. This is awesome. And in your respective fields, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great work to help people. And we'd like the listening audience to know, how can they get in touch with each of you individually, depending on what their circumstances are, and some parting words that you may share with them? So please, ladies first, Shauna.
To get in touch with me, my website is www.njcchs.org. So that's N like Nancy, J as in Jack, Cat Henry Sam, njcchs.org, as well as on Facebook under the same thing, /NJCCHS, or the Center for Counseling and Holistic Services. And my office number is area code 862-704-6391. I am located in West Orange, New Jersey. My word of advice today is, don't wait till things get unmanageable to seek help, whether it's with an accountant or with someone like me for couples therapy. Don't wait to the end, because then you're not going to have the stamina or the hope that there's going to be an end to whatever struggles you're going through. As soon as you recognize you need help, or you need a third party who's objective to listen in and help you guys sort things out, seek help.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you for that. We appreciate you being on, Shauna. Hudson, my man.
Okay, first, thank you for having us on, both Tina and Steve. My company, TaxDRX Financial, best contact number is 877-908-1040. Again, 877-908-1040. Our website is taxdrx.com. There's tons of information there. Like, we designed a site that if you just had nothing to do and you wanted to just learn, you just go there and just read. And, of course, it's tax time, so we could definitely help there. And, of course, if anyone needs to call us just to ask questions, I do not charge to respond to questions. I do charge to put plans together, though. So that's
okay,
basically.
But there are free consultations, pretty
free
much.
Consultations, yeah, for both tax and financial planning. And my, I guess the phrase that I learned, it's not what you earn that counts, it's what you keep.
Mm.
So that's my takeaway.
Excellent, excellent. Both excellent. Excellent guests. Look forward to building a relationship with both of you, Tina and I. And on behalf of the entire Complete Chocolate Couples movement, we thank you for being on. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, you have been experiencing the movement that is Complete Chocolate Couples. I'm your host, Stephen Anthony King. As always, a shout-out goes to my beautiful wife, Tina, who's behind the scenes making sure that everything runs smoothly. If you are in the tri-state area, and you are a couple and looking to hang out with other like-minded couples who are doing positive things, no drama. Well, not to say there's no drama in their relationship, but they're in a committed relationship and they are committed to building that relationship with other couples, then join us. We have a meetup group. It's meetup.com/complete-chocolate-couples. where we actually meet up as couples. We do movies, we do dinners. We just had a nice holiday party that Hudson and Shauna have come to. We do paintball. We've done salsa classes, jazz clubs, anything that you do individually as a couple, a night out on the town, we do as couples together. Also, check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/Complete Chocolate Couples The Movement. Check out our website, CompleteChocolateCouples.com. And if you were unable to catch information about our two guests tonight, you can always contact us at info@CompleteChocolateCouples.com or inbox us on Facebook, and we will be more than happy to forward you their information. It's a great year. We wish, Tina and I wish everyone who's listening, peace and abundant blessings in the year of 2015. We have a host of things going on. It's going to be an exciting year, so stay tuned. Another fantastic show coming up next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Tell a friend, and remember, all of our shows are archived and on demand, so as soon as we hang up this show, you can listen to, download it to your iPhone, and listen to it all week if you've missed anything. Thank you again. Good night, and God bless. Thanks, everyone. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.